Interesting. I cannot find the record button on Zoom. They move things around. I can see the AI companion button. Okay, I think I found it now. There we go. Got it, got it. Thank you for all the messages. I've got them all. Thank you so much for sending this in. Welcome you all. Thank you for being here for this week's work in the freeze context, where we're working with transforming grief into its natural, healthy role around letting go, dispersion, releasing. I'm going to invite you to get settled in into your space, getting comfy, cozy if you haven't already, making your way to a place where you can either lie or sit and be comfy and be undisturbed for our time together. And happy Wednesday to you all. As you settle in, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go, to make space, and every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that, excuse me, if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral. Taking time to savor that, to appreciate that, to drink that in. And on that note, I'm going to invite you to, on purpose, locate something in your environment, external or internal, that feels good for you to be with. And as you look around, letting your gaze look in every which direction, being really curious to explore all angles in your environment. And noticing if you tend to default to the same thing, or if there's an opportunity to land on something maybe that's new, that's calling you in this moment, that might be different. And as you locate that, as you land on that, I invite you to notice what it is you like the most about it. And then to savor that, to appreciate that, to drink that in. And even breathing that inside of you. And as you breathe that in, noticing what happens inside of you. And if any part of that is pleasant to neutral, taking space and time to be with it and to savor it. And as you continue to drink that in, I'm going to offer my thanks. Thank you for being here. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of opportunity to connect and be together in these ways. Thank you to your families, to your lineages, to all of your ancestors. And thank you to all of those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that nourish us all. For all of those that have come before and all of those to arrive. Thank you for your care. And thank you to your villages, your chosen families. Thank you to all the rich opportunities to receive support and care in all the ways that it shows up. All those little moments that get to add up to weave a rich web of support. And as we take time to notice the support that is there in our life, we may continue to deepen into understanding what that looks like, what it is like to be supported, and what it feels like to have that show up for us. And if that's readily available, I'm going to invite you to breathe that in as well. And if there's a sense of absence or lack, I'm going to invite you to just be with that space and to offer it your own tender compassion as a means to notice what's there and to perhaps to tenderly meet any grief that may be in that space. As we shift gears to our work today, we're starting off with an inherited cellular repair. It's on both sides of the family lines. On mom's side, going back 5 generations, dad's side, 6. And it's working with this theme of feeling displaced. And that may show up as the previous generations of people who have been the black sheep, so to speak, in your family, and all of their energies around feeling displaced or like they don't really quite fit in or belong. It may also apply to all of those that have immigrated and have changed where they've lived, the country that they've resided in, and feeling displaced, potentially because of their own choosing, or perhaps circumstances that force them to make that change, to make that shift. And it can refer to any other way that we have this experience of feeling being displaced. And as we cast the net wide on purpose, scooping up all the relevant pieces here, and we offer this cellular repair work, it's taking place in the upper lobes of the lungs, which is the classic place where we tend to store our more core grief. There are areas that we often, well, I don't know very many people who don't have neck, shoulder, something going on, as we live in a world where we tend to look down at our phones, our tablets, we tend to sit and drive in ways that are creating a bit of a curvature there. And as we work with this area, knowing that it's more than just the physical alignments that's compressed, that upper lobe of the lung region, we're going to meet really tenderly with the Sidri, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help out the nervous system and the immune system alike, along with the rest of the body mind for that matter, to heal. Also balancing yin and yang, feminine nourishment, masculine protection essences that run in a balance that's roughly 50-50 within us all. As we circulate them, bringing them into awareness to find that balance for ourselves. And also running hydration here, helping cells to take in water, joy, and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. And then running the D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Integration, introspection as it shifts those underlying consciousnesses, releasing, surrendering, allowing, and helping to make space. We're going to also run with that diaphragm to intestines to support that allowing and that spaciousness. The diaphragm being our center for control and emotional processing, and the intestines helping us let go of all the stuff that no longer serves. As we release that, we're also going to do the same for not just the regular breathing diaphragm, but for the other three diaphragms in the crown of the head, linking that to the intestines, the base of the throat to the intestines, and the pelvic bowl. We're going to link that to two places, to the intestines, and then down and out to kidney one, which is on the bottom of the soles of the feet. And in a way, much like the intestines, helps us to let go and helps to balance those excess electrons, that excess energy that is acting almost like static. It feels sometimes like, that feeling in the air before it rains and there's like a lightning storm. It's got that like thick feeling sometimes in the air. And although we might appreciate that when we feel it out in our environment at times, at least I do, in a way we might be appreciating it because it's like we don't have to hang on to that in our bodies anymore. The natural world around us is holding on to it for us. So we can feel that freedom without being present to it in the usual way inside of us. And in essence, as we work with that, without the nature taking it over for us, for those of us that appreciate that opportunity to be in that arena of lightning storm or the pre-lightning storm energy, the buildup of that heaviness, we're actually going to release that through those kidney one spots in the middle of the soles of the feet, and we're also supporting that in turn, helping the earth energy to rise up. And we're going to link that all the way through now, not just to that base of the pelvis diaphragm, but to the other three above it. And as we link the earth into the diaphragms, into all four of them, supporting what it means to be aligned with the most natural vibration, the Schumann resonance, that of the earth, which also in our body mind circulates an essence that's, well, the geeky number in my brain is 136.11 hertz, which is the one of the vibrational energies that's thought to be resonant to the earth. But the Schumann resonance is a little slower than that, even, and it helps us to literally remember what it is to slow down. And as we slow down, as we support our diaphragms in slowing down, it's as if it gives spaciousness to all of our lymph nodes and our entire body mind to begin to process the backlog of, I'm going to call it long-standing grief that hasn't been attended to, that hasn't had a chance to be noticed or felt. It's just got tucked away. And in essence, it was a way to manage what was happening. And the energy was basically just hide that away and forget about it because we've got a lot else happening right here. And that leads to congestion in our body minds and in numerous ways. So for all those lymph nodes, they're hanging on to that long-standing grief. We're going to start off with doing basic lymphatic circulation for your entire body mind. We're connecting it through to your breath cycle, through to the exhale. And then we're doing a body chemistry on what in Chinese medicine is referred to as like your phlegm. And we can think of that as our mucus buildup in our system. And as we sort of clean house within the mucus, within the phlegm, taking out the microbial load, which is attracted. So our buildup of microbes, in particular bacteria, feeds off of anger, virus off of fear. So as we balance this body chemistry, it's also releasing the elements within the grieving process around the times when we go through anger, and that can correlate to the denial phases, for instance, and the times when we go through fear, in which this is just too scary to figure out how to move on. It's just too scary to even begin to contend with the opportunity to step into something new or different on the other side of this. So as we work with this body chemistry, it's balancing all the anger, all the fear that's available to be processed, to shift whatever layers are ready to go here that are stored again through that lymph node, those lymph nodes, I should say, in your entire body mind. For the their particular phlegm that they're hanging on to. Excuse me. Apparently mine's already starting to go as I clear my throat. Yeah, excuse me again. I'm also post-teaching body talk fundamentals, so I've been using my voice a lot for the past few days. But I have a feeling it's more tied into my personal process as well. Now, when we work with this, for that phlegm, think of that body chemistry as, you know, when you have like mucus that comes out of you that's like yellow or green or colorful in some way, usually yellow, green, might be orange, could be black. The different colors lead to different sorts of buildup of microbes that are leaving the body. And we can think of that as the anger, the fear that's leaving your system. And then that mucus becomes clear, transparent. Now, we can also have a backlog of that sort of clear or transparent mucus or phlegm. And that tends to correlate more to our day-to-day stressors that we have, just like that buildup of stress that we just don't seem to ever figure out how to get around or deal with, in part because modern life just comes with that. There's a lot of push-pulls in our attention. There's a lot of demands on our energy. And as we work with just the general sort of day-to-day stress underlying all of the anger, the fear that we worked through in the body chemistry piece, on the other side of that, we actually need to run, interestingly enough, hydration for your phlegm, helping it to take in water and joy and release that combination of stress throughout all the various day-to-day factors that just build up. And then underlying that, it's defined by the consciousness of fear of letting go, fear of really having the experience of what it means to be without this mucus. It's almost as if the mucus or the phlegm itself has become a layer of protection. And in Chinese medicine, our buildup of mucus or phlegm also correlates to how clear our mind is. So the less phlegm that's built up in the system, the clearer the mind can become. And on that note, we're actually going to go to the earth element, which works with the conscious and the subconscious mind alike through the stomach and the spleen meridians, respectively. And we're looking at releasing the buildup of, again, phlegm through here. Interesting. When I was tuning into the session earlier, I did not pick up on this phlegm piece. This is so fascinating to me. I love that it's here in this way. Very intriguing. And for this, excuse me again, we need to do an emotional release of sadness from the phlegm. It's as if the layers of sadness within the phlegm are the reason why, well, let me say this differently. As we use phlegm to protect ourselves, it's as if we're developing the habitual pattern of avoiding joy and relying on sadness to protect us from being present to the vulnerability of feeling good, of feeling easeful, of feeling lighter. There's this almost this wariness of, I don't want to take in that joyfulness because the risk of losing it will be too painful. Better to stick with the hurt, the challenges, the suffering side of life, rather than risk feeling good and then losing it and feeling the pain all over again. So it's a way of managing or avoiding, and we could refer to it in a number of different ways. I'm going to refer to it here as the fear of taking in joy, the fear of taking up joy, which might sound logically counterintuitive, and yet in my experience, it is one of the most challenging things I've seen people take up time and time again. So to support this, we're going to do a few things. We're going to give this its own, so to speak, like mini body talk session. We're starting off in cellular repair. This is on the acquired side. And it's going into the spiritual realm. And I'm just tuning into the exact wording here. My dog just gave me a really big sigh, so that usually means we're heading into the right territory. It's working with the concept that we tend to put the essence as human beings until it's, well, otherwise, we tend to put the essence of the divine, God, creator, spirit, whatever your word for that might be, as something that's out there versus something that's in here. And we're going to connect that as we work with the cellular repair on that particular habitual pattern of avoidance of the essence of that internal relationship as being alive and well and on a felt, rich, somatic sense, being here within us. We're going to link that to a permission statement. And this is, it's going to sound religious. It's not meant to be religious. It's actually coming from, my brain took me into it from a different place. But as I hear those words, I'm like, oh, that might sound religious. My brain took me through a different pathway to arrive here. And the words here are, and you can substitute the last one. I'm going to say it with the word God, but pick your wording. Again, universe, spirit, creator, love and light. And the words here are, thou art that. So thou art God, thou art creator, thou art spirit, thou art that. Yeah, what if you are that? What if you are that? And if your worldview permits for you to sort of dabble within that arena, I'm going to invite you to breathe into that. And it's linked to a second related permissions, very much in line with that. And the words are simply, I am one with, I am one with that. And again, fill in the blank for the word that. I am one with that. Which also means you are that. Which also means you are that. And we don't always speak to it quite that directly or bluntly. As well, for a lot of reasons, I won't belabor that point right now. But the opportunity here is to deepen into that, to call that in, to breathe into that, and to be with that here and now. And if you like, you can even just begin to play with that concept, like what if? Just let's try it on, just for fun. What if that were true? What if that were true? Thou art that. I am one with that. What if, just for fun, what if that was actually a possibility that could be true? I'm going to invite you to play with that as we offer a cellular repair within that arena to any cells within the nervous system in particular, as well as the immune system, get to receive the opportunity to release any old stagnant pieces and to repair into the fullness of the understanding of who and what you truly are. Which might just be where the true nature of vitality and healing comes from. John is often referred to body talk as a spiritual system with a side of healthcare. As we do that, linking all of general consciousness, all of general consciousness in modules from module three body talk material to individuation, linking it to the heart along with all five senses. To peel back all the different layers again that are ready to go, belief systems that think that you are separate from source itself. Pick your word for source. And then for all those areas, running lymphatic drainage through all those cells that are in the midst of repairing. Helping them to again detoxify, to clean house, to release any low self-esteem that says, I'm not worthy of that energy, and to release any habitual overthinking or overanalyzing that tends to push that away. Because part of this process is, yes, mental awareness, but a much deeper layer of that becomes the somatic uptake of that at a cellular level to receive that, to drink that in here. What is it to rest in that awareness that you are that? And if we truly recognize what that means, it leads us to the arena of also understanding. And I'm going to say something that's a really, really big statement. Oh my gosh. Who knew I was linking into all this today? And the words here are the understanding that nothing can truly die. Nothing can truly die. Nothing that's true can die. And that's a bit of a leap to take. And if you're going, what is she talking about? That's okay. Let that part go. And a part of you is like, I'm curious, I want to dig into that a little bit more. I invite you to sit with that concept. What if? And originally, that might, or at first awareness, that might sound like bad news or good news. I'm not sure how it might land. But I do know as you sit with it, there may be layers of grief that continue to come with that. And that may be an opportunity for you to continue to notice where that seemingly bad news may be hooked in to the body, mind, and awarenesses that are still needing to be processed and integrated for this to be seen through a different perspective, which allows it to actually become good news in the end. And not to rush that process. Wherever you are in that process is a beautiful place to be, even though it may not feel like that, and it's in the space of that all. So as we work with this understanding that nothing can ever die, that isn't also meant to be used in any way to mentally bypass or spiritually bypass all the grief that you've had around loss. Because those are different things. Yes, nothing ever dies, and you also may still grieve the loss of those personal experiences of not having that person in your life anymore. So that can be a bit of a sticky point for those of us that are aware of the eternal nature of life itself, that there is truly no way to actually die. And yet at the same time, we experience death with loved ones, with different experiences around the world when we have very clearly in our world are still all sorts of interesting experiences happening that are potentially very in our face around death these days. There's a lot of interesting footage, anyways, on my social media feeds, and you may be noticing that as well. It seems to be very here, very present. As you sit with that, so I'm going to invite you to tune into all those areas of you where you may be just a little stuck on, this understanding of death versus loss. And to support that, I'm going to invite you to actually go into those areas of you where you're most aware of the times, the spaces in your life where you've experienced loss of loved ones. And wherever that grief is continuing to linger in your body, know that that's actually not a bad thing. It's here for a good reason. And I'm going to invite you to do something that might sound a little counterintuitive. I'm going to invite you to actually welcome it. I invite you to welcome it. And similar, I believe we used this phrase last week potentially as well, if memory serves. As you welcome it, I'm going to invite you to offer the words to these pockets of grief in your system. And the words are just simply this: you belong here. I'm going to say it a few times. You belong here. You belong here. You belong here. You belong here. If it feels right, I'm going to invite you to keep offering those words, that sentiment. If it's offering good things and the system is responding well to that, and you need to hear it a few more times, continue to offer that phrase to yourself. You belong here. And we're linking that through to the acceptance regions in the body, which are on the back of the skull, right where the skull joins the spine and a few inches above that, on either side, left and right alike. There's four spots in total. And as the back of the skull falls into acceptance, it also releases the judgment that that loss was like the wrong thing to have happened. Yeah, what if it's actually okay for endings to happen? And as I say that, we're working now with an inherent fear of the new, an inherent fear of the new beginnings, an inherent fear of the risk within opportunity, the risk within opportunities. And it is cellular repair day. We are doing one more of that, and we're doing this in the rear area of the back of where the skull joins the spine, that AO joints. And again, pick your own word for God, Creator Spirit. This is an area of the body that's often referred to as God's mouth, as in God exhaled and you began, you inhaled. As it works with the idea of creation or the point of creation itself. And in order for creation to happen, destruction is the other side of that coin. One cannot exist without the other. The new does not come without the old, leaving. Possibilities can arise without previous losses having faded away. And as we work with that, What if it was okay? What if it was okay to just be with loss? Not have to change it, not have to make it go away, not have to do anything different other than just simply be with it, welcome it, and allow it the essence of acceptance by means of you belong here. You belong here. Put another way, what if you didn't have to fight against that? What if you got to simply rest with ease within that? What if you got to simply rest in peace amongst that all? And what if those situations were opportunities for you to explore what it meant to find restfulness within peace? And what if that expression that we often hear, without necessarily giving it the full credence of our awareness, rest in peace, is truly offering that to the living, more so than those that have passed on? For they get to automatically experience that, potentially, if your worldview permits that. What if you got to simply rest and explore what it means to find restfulness and peace within yourself? And what if that was actually the essence in five element theory of earth element itself? To find the capacity to rest, to find stillness in ways that were nourishing, that brought peace. What if resting in peace also is invoking the feminine essence of stillness itself, and finding that as an opportunity to deeply nourish as the feminine, as the yin nature does? And what if, hear me out on this one, that was the true essence of what the mind that the earth element governs is designed to offer you? What if the true nature of the mind is to provide clarity and refinement of all the previous attachments that create confusion? What if? We're linking that all through to the navel, center of connection, center of centeredness. And we're looking at the first experience, well, potentially one of the first major experiences. You may have experienced some in the womb. But when you were born and you had the umbilical cord cut, eventually that navel, it began to fall off after maybe a week or two on the other side of life. Yeah. And that grief of that final ending of that disconnection. I'm assuming none of you had lotus births, and that may have been the case, and that may have also been a moment of grieving as well, if that desiccated and dried and fell off at that point. Yeah, so either which way, that final time of disconnection from the cord of life itself that formed this scar. That we refer to as your belly button, your navel, doing a tremendous emotional release of grief through here in a way that draws your attention to actually be with it, to be in it, to go a little bit deeper. So, better put, releasing any sort of blockades around the navel that you've been numbed out to, that you haven't allowed into your awareness or not necessarily not allowed, but you just haven't been present to it out of a natural means of not necessarily anything wrong or malicious, but just simply that you stayed safe and you protected yourself in that way, which is really natural. As we go to the navel, releasing layer after layer after layer that's ready to go of things that have kept you separate or unaware. releasing the lack of awareness through here, again, in ways that were meant to be there, that played out perfectly to keep you safe and protected. And as we release that through here, running lymphatic drainage one more time, this time through this navel and umbilical region. And as that releases, releasing with it any particular meanings around connection, being connected to grief, as in the opportunity to connect with other human beings or connect to success or connect to a work project alike, being automatically at a very deep core level associated with loss and potentially even rejection, abandonment, neglect. And releasing this web of ideas, belief systems, these entanglements that have gone with the concept of connection, with the action of connection, with your opportunities to connect to other people, other things, other possibilities. And what if this set the stage? What if that set the stage for an essence? New things are dangerous, along with change is dangerous. And what if those layers actually get to release now? All the way through the fascia, all the way through the connective tissue of the navel and the umbilical region, all the way down, I actually see it coming out of the right leg, which is, oh, really cool. And there is an association with rebirthing work that I also offer, and the right ankle foot is often an area where we have to unhook or loosen attachments for people to be reborn. So that makes sense for my brain anyways, that it's going through the right leg, which is often thought to be from that other modality of understanding things, where we essentially have our like last foothold to connection to, again, spirit, connection to oneness, connection to God, connection to source, whatever the word for that may be, to that which is eternal. And there's actually like a really deep longing and grieving process that's happening that I'm seeing through the right lower leg and the right foot itself. As like, I really want to be reconnected to that in the way that I was before. And now you have the opportunity to connect to it in a way that's different, in a way that you get to experience your body, in a way that you get to experience shape and form and 3D-ness, 4D-ness, whatever D we're in. And as we work with that, understanding that we get to actually be here, we don't have to be here, we get to be here. Through that right foot and ankle and lower leg, we're going to run circulation of all the healing resources to tend to that sense of, I'm going to call it like rejection, ejection, wounding, if we will, from the birth canal, as a form of landing in your awareness, as a form of like rejection or like disconnection, abandonment, maybe even a sense of feeling like neglected. As we do that, we're also releasing the belief system that no one cares about me. No one cares about me. For any parts that you may have up around at all. And as we release that through here, linking it into the heart, center of connection, center of harmony, center of often referred to as, pardon me, I had to plug my computer in. That's that ding. Part of the understanding of the heart, if I can say this a different way, is that it's thought to be our connection to becoming aware or awakened to the truth of who and what we really are. So as the foot lets go, the heart gets to open up and receive that. And to support that, we're going to run Vomer to Xiphoid Reciprocal. And we're linking that all the way through to your entire endocrine system, to all of your hormones. And then the endocrine system, unhooking this belief or this idea of I am unwanted. I am unwanted. And then releasing that as well through the ears. And there's almost this sense of intolerance or allergy to being loved, to hearing, I want to be your friend, I want to be with you, I want to connect with you, I desire to spend time with you. And releasing that not just through the ears, but also through the mouth. As there may be a reticence at times to open up yourself vulnerably to express that desire, to want to connect with others, to want to spend time with others, to want to be with other people. And we're going to tap that all out here. I invite you to breathe into all of that. And to receive. And as soon as I finished tapping, there was another little dog sigh. So again, good sign. Thank you, Roxy. Okay. Okay. There's a really interesting grief / freeze response, like, no surprise that it's coming up today. And I'm going to flush this out with as many words as I can speak to it. This idea that when we are relating to somebody else and something like a conflict arises, there can be a pattern of, especially present in the spiritual seeking community and healers alike, that we look to ourselves to figure out, you know, what's at the root of that. And making ourselves not necessarily wrong for it, but always looking internally for the answers of that. And although that's a wonderful habit to have and a beautiful thing to do, to look inwards, because that's truly where the answers are, risking, not necessarily risking, let me say that differently. The other side of that is sometimes we default to doing just that, and we forget about the other side of the equation. The other side of the equation being that someone else was also involved and their actions may be something that needs to be something that you get to express about, that you get to you know, offer your feelings about, that you get to feel heard, you get to be received in, you get to be seen in, you get to be validated in. It's like, yes, those are healthy feelings to have in response to what it is this other person may have offered you. And although, yes, it is always at the roots something within us, it doesn't dismiss the need for other people to hear about their particular behavior and how it's impacted you. And looking at all the times in which you may have done that and just gone, well, that's probably about me. I'll just work on me. I better turn and look at me and more, even more. Oh, this again. Why is that coming up yet again? And looking at all the times you may have dismissed that other side. Also noticing that somebody else is present and they too get to hear how that's impacted you. Yeah, so not dismissing the importance of either one of those and looking at the potential freeze around just like, I won't go there, I'll go in here instead to do the work. Yeah. And again, it's not a bad thing. It just may come at the cost at times of not also doing the other side. Yeah. And as we look at the grief around, I'm going to call it dismissing yourself or dismissing your own needs or thinking that you won't get them met, so why bother? Looking at all the layers of grief contained within that. Which also, just to be really clear, doesn't set the stage for endlessly knocking your head against the wall, trying to get through to someone who won't necessarily receive what it is you're saying. That also gives you the opportunity then to decide whether or not you want to be in a relationship with that person. And the question becomes, you know, does that serve me? Does that serve me really well? And only you get to know the answer to that. And only you get to decide when it's right to, you know, continue relationships or to find other ones to be in and to be with. Yeah. What if it was, and this is something that I feel like isn't necessarily overly taught in our world, what if it was okay to leave relationships that aren't serving you? Whether that's a friendship, a romantic partnership, or even an internal relationship between different parts of you. What if it was okay to leave relationships that weren't serving you? And what if that may actually hold the key for healing things that you may never have found otherwise? And I'm not saying that's an easy approach at all. It may just simply hold value and be worth it in the end, potentially. So what if that was okay? What if it was actually okay? Just notice how that feels in your system. What if it would be okay to leave relationships that weren't serving? I've noticed this prevalence of ideas of I have to stay no matter what. And I'm just playing with this idea, just for fun again. What if it would be okay if that actually wasn't the case? What if that wasn't necessarily how it had to be? What if that should didn't exist so heavily handed in your life? What if? And that's connected to a cellular repair, because it's cell repair day apparently, on the upper lobes of the lungs, working with all the conditioning, all the programming around this idea that good girls don't create disturbances. Good girls don't create disturbances. They don't ruffle feathers. They don't create opportunities to bring up challenging information. They don't create things like breakups or leave relationships that no longer serve. And as we work with that essence, good girls don't create disturbances through the upper lobes of the lung, sinking into the neck, into the very base of the neck where all the various musculature of the neck runs. And we're looking at all the times where you've frozen your expression, where you've frozen your words, where you've frozen and held back and not expressed what it is you really wanted to have said. All those different experiences, all those layers that are ready to go through here, all that unfinished business is linking all the way through to the jaw muscles, to the masseters in particular, that open and close the jaw. They help us to literally chew, to digest our life, to digest our experiences, to digest our emotions or events. I'm thinking of this as the opportunity to actually allow for that to happen, for those muscles that get to actually do their job. And we're actually going to, if you can imagine, waving a magic wand of sorts and releasing those frozen bits that have been there for a long, long period of time that have said, you can't say that. You're not allowed to do that. Who do you think you are? You can't ask for that. You can't express that. Hold your tongue. Let's release that through here. Releasing that through the family lines, through in particular, oh, it's actually not in particular. It's through both mom and dad's side. And we're going back however many generations ago it was to reach the 1600s. So however many generations that might be. And we're looking at all the various pressures where men were told you need to control your wives and where wives were told you need to be controlled. All the various different misunderstandings and confusions and all the harm and hurt that was created from that. As you release those layers, releasing them into the kidney through the kidney meridian. As the kidney meridian processes all of our ancestral stuff, in particular going into kidney 24 points on roughly the middle on either side of the chest. And we're going to run another Sidri here. And we're working here simultaneously with the permission statement of that's not okay, that wasn't okay, and that is not okay. That was not okay, and this is not okay. Releasing that all the way through the family lines. And as we do that, I'm hearing the sound, ah, go all the way through that kidney meridian, all the way through to the soles of the feet, into the earth itself. Releasing that pain as an offering to Gaia, to Pachamama, to Mother Earth. As she can hold it, she can hold it. And she actually doesn't really hold it, she transmutes it. That energy gets to be used as an essence fertilizer to grow something different, something new. And as that happens, I actually see the image of like little fungi, mushrooms popping up. And before they do, there's all this interconnected network of how mushrooms communicate. It's thought to be the most intricate communication network on the entire planet, which is that of the mycelium. And that mycelium network holding deep wisdom around what it means to be in healthy connection to healthily support others. And for me, it often looks and mimics the tree root system, which is like more of a simplified version of it, as well as the nervous system. It looks a lot like that. It holds a very parallel type of image, or almost like a fractal image of that. However, the most intricate of that is the mycelium. And as we bring in the essence of what it means to be deeply interwoven, deeply interconnected, much like tree roots connect across entire countries, much like your nervous system is perhaps connected to every other being on earth in a way that might not be so physically obvious, and yet somehow is to its very consciousness nature. Know that it's our kidney meridian that gives rise to that nervous system connection. So as we work with this, bringing that mycelium into the kidney meridian and changing it a very rich lineage, ancestral level, around what it means to interconnect and to heal in good ways. Offering the permission statement here. And the words are, you are safe, you are alive, and it's okay to change. And I see that as helping to transcend the typical reptilian brain behavior, which says you're safe, you're alive, don't change. As we work with it, and as we offer that permission, it's allowing for that reptilian brain network, excuse me, to be influenced more readily by the limbic brain, and to have that be influenced more readily by your cortical brain and its wisdom, its compassion. And then linking that to be readily governed and connected through to the heart brain and its harmonious nature of deep, deep connection through to oneness itself. Excuse me again. Apparently more phlegm leaves on that note. And as we work with that heart connection in this way, perhaps this may be also the awareness of where we are deeply interconnected. As it's thought that your heart energy field is the strongest in your entire body mind, and it has the capacity to intermingle, to interconnect in ways that are mysterious, not understood, in ways that are transcendent, beyond our understandings, that are logical and scientific in nature, and in ways that get to branch out into new things beyond our understanding and awareness that exists in this way, but that began to become available in a felt sense, somatic level. I'm running the permissions here. It's safe to feel connected again. And as I offer that, releasing any pieces of grief that no longer need to be here, the very core of your heart, that say, I'll never trust again. Why bother opening myself up again for more pain? Why bother? And releasing within that the apathy and the grief alike at a very deep core heart level. And linking that now through to the heart chakra. I see it actually pulsating and vibrating and coming alive again. I'm coming into a state where that dullness of the apathy no longer reduces its shine or reduces its capacity to radiate in all directions simultaneously. At a length, at a distance that seems to be impossible even, yet somehow circles around the existence of this entire planet, this world, this globe. What if all your hearts were actually in communication in a way that may not be consciously in your awareness, but yet somehow there was this sweet moment of being able to fall into, for just a second, the awareness that we are all deeply the same at our fundamental core level. And all of our conditioning, all of our programming create interesting little disguises for us to necessarily recognize ourselves as readily in the other person. And yet here it is, at the very core of the heart, available to be drawn into that essence of deep awareness of your fundamental connection as a human being to all the others, to all other life, to all other essences of vibrations of frequencies, period, on this planet. Linking that through to the heart brain, to the nervous system of the heart, that nervous system again carrying the mycelium wisdom of connection and understanding, and the heart brain being the most intricate of all the brains, having the most nerve cells available, makes it even more aware of that deep essence of connection that's here for us. Then balancing that to your navel and all the work that we did with that earlier. As we begin to tap here, if it feels right, you can take a hand to the heart, a hand to the navel, and breathe. Breathe this in. Breathing in love. breathing in the essence of your hearts, and breathing in the essence of connection. What is it to be deeply connected to your love? What is it to be deeply connected to your compassion? And giving that a few slow, deep breaths. I went a little over time. I'm apologizing for that. I have a song. It's called Moving. It's from the album Beginning. It's by Eskimotion. It's 2.5 minutes long. I'm going to invite you to breathe and receive here. And drink in this beauty. Perhaps touching in on that resource that you found earlier. Breathing and resting here. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for being here in all these ways and navigating this work in these ways. My love to you all. And I invite you to hang out afterwards if you would like any additional support, and to spend some time with that resource if it feels right for you later today or at any time even now. Thank you again, my love. So I'm going to sign off for now and wish you a most beautiful rest of your day and your week ahead. Oh, and a reminder that next week there is a week off again. We've had two in kind of short order, which means we probably won't have another one, another week off for quite a while. But next week is off. So I invite you to enjoy a recording of your choosing. Okay, loves. Bye for now. Mwah. Some challenging what ifs indeed.